1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Countering current claims that homosexuality can be godly. In recent times, even evangelicals are increasingly accepting homosexuality as approved of God. The New York Times reported, quote, "Recent surveys conducted by the Barna Group show that younger born-again Christians are more accepting of homosexuality than older ones and are less resistant to affording gays equal rights." This is something that is beginning to hit home closer to us. Earlier this past year, we had a family that had showed up in our church. They had been in an evangelical church in the area, and either someone had taught or had promoted or had tried to sanctify homosexuality in one of the Sunday school classes. And so this family had gone to the leaders of the church concerned about this, and the leaders did nothing. So the family decided, we've got to get out of here. And so they were looking around for churches, and they had shared this with us as they came for NEPOG for a little bit. So, and this is a church that there are people who attend that church that many people in our church know. So this is a problem that becomes sharper and sharper. And it's important for us to know exactly what the Word of God says. Well, the passage that we have in front of us tonight is one of the passages that are used by some scholars to try to say that God is not condemning homosexuality. And so we're going to look at the passage, and we're going to take our time to look at it from the Greek text and the context and everything to see exactly what the Bible says. So 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 9-11 clarifies whether homosexuality is good or evil, and we need to view it for our insight. I want to read the verses, and then we'll look at them. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but now you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Well, when Paul in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 in the King James Version wrote that the unrighteous who do not inherit the kingdom of God included the effeminate and abusers of themselves with mankind, conservative theologians have long taught that the effeminate were those who allow themselves to be used unnaturally as passive, what they call catamites, in homosexual unions, while the abusers of themselves of mankind were active homosexuals, those who take the lead in homosexual relationships. In all of these relationships, there's one party plays the feminine role and one party plays the masculine role. That happens in gay situations involving men. It also happens in lesbian situations that are involving women. And conservatives have always thought that this referred to the passive or those playing the feminine role as well as the active, those who play the masculine role in homosexual unions. However, efforts today to soften this view in support of homosexuality have led some to claim that Paul opposed only abuses in general, or pederasty. Pederasty is where people have union with children, or cult prostitution, or male bisexual prostitution. Well, conversely, a study of the Greek words behind the English translation in light of the context reveals that Paul critiqued the active and the passive roles of homosexuals and homosexual activities of either gender. This is either the male gender or the female gender. It's interesting. The Greek word that the King James Version renders abusers of themselves with mankind actually comes from one word, arsenokoites. And it appears nowhere in classical Greek literature or the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament in Jesus' era. When Alexander the Great came through and he conquered territories, he wanted to make sure that the Hebrew scriptures got into Greek. So he commissioned 70 Jewish scholars down on Alexandria to translate it, and that's the 70. That's where they get the word Septuagint. The Septuagint is Latin for 70. And these 70 scholars translated the Hebrew scriptures into Greek. And it's interesting that the New Testament writers, the apostles and so forth, often quoted from the Septuagint because it would have been known by the Gentiles as well as the Jews. Everybody spoke Greek. Greek was the language that you used in the marketplace if you bought and sold. You wouldn't speak Hebrew there, you'd speak Greek. So it was the lingua franca, as they say. And so that was the word that was used there. So it's interesting that this word appears in Scripture only in Paul's letters. It appears here in 1 Corinthians 6:9. It also appears in Romans 1:27, where the Apostle Paul was talking about homosexuals. Remember where he was condemning people who were involved in that activity. Let me just look at it. Romans 1:27 says, "And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust toward one another, men with men, working that which was unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat." So the word is used there. And then it's used in 1 Timothy 1:10. In 1 Timothy 1:10, arsenokoites is used, whoremongers, them that defile themselves with mankind. That's what the word that is used, arsenokoites. Okay, Paul then coined the word himself. This isn't something that appears in classical Greek, doesn't appear in anywhere else. It appears in Paul's writings. Paul coined the word himself. And where did he get the idea for the words? Well, the Greek terms in the Septuagint at Leviticus 18:22 and Leviticus 20:13 that describe men lying with men in prohibited homosexuality, he united the word arson, which is the word male or man, to describe men lying with men, and with the word coite. Coite is the word bed. It also means sexual intercourse. We got the word coitus today in our lingo from that. So Paul combined those two words that are used in Leviticus 18, and it's interesting. Let me just read those verses, because those verses are absolutely clear in regards to homosexuality. Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22, Moses wrote, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is an abomination." That tells you what God thinks of homosexuality. It's an abomination. And then Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13, notice what Moses again wrote. "If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed abomination." Notice both the catamite as well as the sodomite, both the passive and the active, both of them are guilty. "They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them." The main reason why this is seen as such a heinous sin in God's eyes is because it violates the natural order. God created men and he created women. He wants men to act in the men role. He wants women to act in the women role. And he created sexuality and so forth to be utilized in marriage, the marriage union of one man and one woman. And when man rebels against that and goes after the same sex and so forth, they're using their bodies in a way that is not natural, and it violates the natural order of God, and it brings out the wrath of God. So, Paul meant the word to be used in a broad description of mutual adult same-sex relationships. Now, we can talk either about lesbians of two women, or we can talk about the gay, which would be the men, but it's same-sex relationships. Now, the Greek word behind the King James Version effeminate is the word malakos, and malakos simply means soft. And since by itself it is a morally neutral word, Paul meant it to be defined as a vice by the context. He didn't just use the word soft and it's a neutral thing. It wouldn't make sense for Paul to use the word soft and just mean soft in a context where he's listing vices. So somehow it's got to be a vice. And the question is, what vice is it? Vice is something that is bad, all right? Well, since malakos is connected to arsenokoites in this context, Malakos is the homosexual in the passive feminine role, the effeminate role, where arsenokoites is the homosexual in the active masculine role. So what Paul is doing is critiquing homosexuality, whether we're talking about lesbians or gays, whether we're talking about groups of women or groups of men, where he's condemning all who are in the passive role and all who are in the active role. And that's exactly what Moses condemned in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13. If man lie with man, both of them are guilty. The passive and the active. Same with women. Both of them are guilty. The passive and the active. So Paul taught that the unrighteous who do not inherit the kingdom of God include such sinners as the sexually immoral, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals in both the passive and the active roles of both genders, thieves, the greedy, drunkards, revilers, and swindlers. What is really wonderful, though, is what Paul then does in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In verse 11, he says, such were some of you. The word were is actually in the imperfect tense. Such were being, this is what you folks were being. Not only what they were doing, what they were being. So not only is the act condemned here, but the orientation. A lot of homosexuals try to say, well, the Bible is opposed to the homosexual acts, not homosexual orientation. No, such were being you. You have a group of nouns that appear in verse 9. Both the Catamites and the Sodomites, both of those are in the noun form. And not any kind of a verb form. So such were being some of you. But you are washed. But you are sanctified. Sanctified means separated from sin. But you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Isn't that amazing? Homosexuals saved. Lesbians saved and clean and pure by faith in Jesus Christ. And this is why we love to have the gospel preached to all people. If a gay person or a lesbian comes to hear the gospel of Christ, if they put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, they are cleaned, they are justified, they are purified because of the cross of Jesus Christ. So Paul added that such were some of his readers, but they were washed, sanctified, justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. Homosexuality is not an acceptable orientation, nor are homosexual acts acceptable to God, but in line with the Leviticus 18:22 and Leviticus 20 verse 13 that condemn homosexuality in its broadest sense. Passages Paul had in mind when he wrote 1 Corinthians 6:9, homosexuality is sin, typical of the unrighteousness of those who do not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, it may be that the ruling of the Supreme Court is opposed to my calling homosexuality sin. I don't know. But that makes no difference. The Bible calls it sin. And so in this pulpit, we're going to call it sin, regardless what the Supreme Court thinks. So the lesson is, Paul clarified that homosexuality in its broadest sense, be it the role of the passive party or the active party in any same gender relationship, is sin. Just like any other sin, such as general immorality, adultery, stealing, covetousness, substance abuse, reviling, swindling, sins that were typical of those who do not inherit the kingdom of God. However, anyone can be saved from these practices and orientations by faith in Jesus Christ. So may we not yield to the world's idea that homosexuality in any form, either in orientation or deed, is acceptable to God, but that it's sin. And people need to be saved out of such sin by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. And there's a big lesson in this. When we interpret Scripture, may we not fall prey to the errant distortions of the truth promoted by biased interpreters bent on supporting some vice, but approach Scripture objectively and let the word usage and the context control our interpretation, that we might understand the truth so as to live righteously.